I didn't know very much about him, if you want to know the truth. And I wasn't putting the Greek emphasis on it like I should. And so it's been heavily impressed on me for the last 3 months to tell people what they can do for them in these last days. And experimentally, I have found that to be true. I have a carnal nature, we all do. He's scared to death of the tribulation period. He has to be subdued, and God can subdue him, but you're the one that has to ask God to subdue him and to let God subdue him in you, because all of us here this morning need to have a growing confidence, a growing trust in Christ. So the one office of days is fulfilling three offices in Jesus. This is part two. He is fulfilling the office of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that's true, because he is fulfilling all three. Soon he will return to catch out his children for heavenly judgment, then return to rule and reign in his millennial kingdom. Well, who are his children? They are the children of Abraham, because Abraham believed the gospel. It was made known to him. The first Adam came as a living soul, but the second Adam came as a quickening spirit. So all the believers are going to be caught up for his heavenly judgment. You know, I've taught that. You know, that's the truth. You're going to have to be judged. I'm going to have to be judged. Then, after the seventh trumpet rapture, they're going to return to rule and reign in his millennial kingdom. I'm only going to say this. The degree that you rule and reign in his millennial kingdom for 1,000 years and then forever is going to depend on how much of the inheritance you're willing to claim. It was placed there for you. All believers have an equal shot at it. Some of it are claiming as much as they can. Some of it are trying to claim all of it. I think that's what we should do. Jesus will rule and reign over this earth as the Ancient of Days. Well, that's the truth. That's the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because it's based on the Scripture. The Ancient of Days came to man as Emmanuel, God with us. When I came up here, I didn't know that. I knew he came, the Ancient of Man came as Emmanuel, God with us. I understood that. But I didn't understand the significance of it, the actual depth of it, the magnificence of it. Do I now? I'm learning more every day. And this church has learned more every day. The preachers here have taught these things. We have learned them ourselves, and they are something that has meant a great deal to each one of us. The devil hates it. He hates everything that we say that would glorify Jesus Christ. So from here to the seventh trumpet rapture, God wants us to hang on and to grow in trust in him rather than in diminishing. People are falling away from our churches like mad. They're bailing out with parachutes because it seems to them to be a new doctrine. No, it's what God promised. It's not a new doctrine. It's a full explanation of the old gospel that began with Adam and Eve and the seed. Leonard did a wonderful Sunday school lesson on that this morning. I wasn't over here, but I caught the last part of it, and I know it was all good. So try to make Sunday school, and I promise you that we are in union. There's no dissension between us. We love one another, and we're learning to love Kenneth. But it's a struggle. Now, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. Jesus Christ has always been God in different offices. And he has fulfilled, is fulfilling, and shall continue to fulfill all three offices. And when we finally arrive in the finding kingdom heritage, there won't be time anymore. There'll just be eternity. Can you imagine? No clocks, no dials, no getting up in the morning to go to work. You say, well, we still got to do something. Oh, yeah, we will. We'll work directly for the Ancient of Days, and we'll know precisely who he is, and we'll begin to grasp how much he loved us. John 1, 1 through 3 and 10 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Now, these are some things you've been taught here for a long time, but you've been taught heavily probably during about the last 10 years. These are things that you already know, but it's something you need to take to heart. The same was in the beginning with God, something I need to take to heart, something all believers need to take to heart, because it's God's way. It's the way, the truth, and the life. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Does that include Jesus? It sure does, because he's God, and he's the Ancient of Days. And without him was not anything made that was made. That's the truth. Scripture says it right there. When I came up here, I worshiped God. But I didn't know all the ramifications. I still don't know all the ramifications. But the more I learn, the more humbled I am in my own heart, and the more I bow down before God, and the less I think of myself, and the more I think of him. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You all know that. You've been taught here. Leonard's talking about it now. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. The Old Testament bears witness to it. There are three in heaven that bear witness. Almighty God himself, the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are one and the same. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Well, I became a child of God when I was 12. Do I want to be like Jesus? I sure do. Am I trying to be like Jesus? By submitting to his will, knowing who he is. I want to become so close that he's like a son, he's got his arm around. Even to them that believe on his name. That's salvation. That's how Adam and Eve were saved. The gospel has always been there. And get a copy of what Leonard preached this morning. It goes into great depth. I wasn't here, but I know it does. And this is something that we all need to learn, every one of us. And we need to practice it. When I came in, he said, and we need to practice it. Nothing could be further from the truth. We should realize that we are the sons of God. We are the adopted sons of God. And when we get ready to do something, we need to say, what does Jesus think of this? What would Jesus do? So when you go into this may make some of you mad. When you go into, but listen, this is not a question of making somebody mad. It's something to think about. When you go in a store and you say, I'll take a pack of Cools, because they're cool. Can you picture Jesus going in there and say, I'd like a pack of cigarettes, so he could damage his body, so he could cut down his ministry, so he could limit his time on earth? Would you do that? And every time I start to have a sexual thought that's not clean, or every time I see something on television with skirting across the screen with a short skirt and pretty legs, I have to ask myself, Would Jesus switch this over? And the answer is obvious. We lead ourselves into temptation. God doesn't lead us into temptation. We lead ourselves into temptation. And furthermore, he leads us out if we'll let him. It's a question of submitting your will to obedience. I heard Leonard, about the third thing he said was obedience to God. That's obedience to God. It's your fight. It's your fight against the devil, turning to the Spirit of God and saying, would Jesus do this? Believe me, what I'm preaching, I have been made acutely aware of for the last 40 years. And I haven't made any progress because I didn't let God make much progress. And I can't go on to perfection. I've learned that. Neither can you. But we can sure put up a fight by God's Spirit in us by yielding and submitting to His will. And we can sure run to Him for forgiveness when we do. He says, to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God saved me. I didn't save myself. I couldn't save myself. And when I finally gave up, and I just trusted the Lord, and I believed Jesus could save me and was alive, I asked Him to save me. Scripture said He would. I know He did because the Scripture says so. I will say, however, that I suppose as a sort of reward, I suddenly found a great, tremendous relief in myself, in my soul, who was desperately afraid of going to hell. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt. That means tabernacle. That word's tabernacle. It means He put on His tent, His tabernacle. He put on human flesh that was perfect, without sin. He came not as a living soul, but He came as a quickening spirit. He came as the seed of Almighty God. God made Him in Mary's womb. He made Him God. And He filled Him with all of His being. And what came forth into this world was the living God in perfect human flesh, who had all power in heaven and in earth. And yet, He suffered and bled and died and emptied Himself. That's who God is. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God, that's why Leonard says He resurrected Himself. I say that too. Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name. Well, what is that name? Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a God. Only one God. He didn't have to do that. He could have made another human race. But from the very beginning of God Himself, that was His plan. You say, well, what do you think of it? I think it's marvelous. I think it's wonderful. I think the everlasting Father is the only one who ever knew what He was doing. And He chose to fulfill Himself in man as the everlasting Father of Almighty God. He has proven it to me. I accept it. It's worth dying for. It's worth living for. It's what life is all about. And this church is doubly blessed. Many churches are full of saved people who understand that Jesus died for them on the cross, and they actually believe and secure the believer. But they do not know the glory of God in Christ Jesus. He came, lived in a tent, a tabernacle. Feast of Tabernacles is the last one that isn't fulfilled. Believe it or not, when it's fulfilled, we will understand the glory of God, for we shall see Him as He is. So what happened inside that tabernacle? Inside that tent, the tent in the wilderness, the light shone out. You could see it. It led them by day. Settled down over the tent at night. Israel saw the glory of God through the tabernacle. We see it directly through Christ, but it is still shadowed, and we will not see it fully until it is revealed. When we see Jesus and receive our glorified bodies and return to the earth, and we will live here for 1,000 years, and it goes right on into the heaven age. Now, do you believe all that? Do you believe that? Think about it. Think about what awaits you. Think what this church is waiting for. Think of the glory that God has shed on this church and the grace He has shown on it to tell us this. Leonard is not here by accident. Neither is Ken, neither am I, neither are you. We're telling you what lies ahead. We're not telling you. The Bible is telling you. He says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." They didn't see His full glory. But we will, and they will. And they already have up in heaven, some of them. John 14, 6 and 7. How many churches are doing this? Leonard said not too long ago, he'd never seen a church like this before. Neither have I. God built this church. I didn't build it. You didn't build it. God built this church. It's hard to realize how much grace God has shed on us and is prepared to shed more on us. You're not here by accident. This isn't something that just happened in time. None of us happened and God just kind of flecked over us. No, we believe things that I have never heard before. And yet they cannot be refuted. No one has ever dared to argue with me about this on TV or anywhere else, because they can't refute it. He says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I got to know the Father before I know Jesus. I prayed to Him all the time. Called Him, "Our Father who art in heaven." But after I got to know Jesus, I realized when I pray to the Father in heaven, I'm praying to all three of them. And there aren't three of them. There's only one. And they fulfill three offices. He said, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." Well, it was the Father's office of the Father that Jesus acted in to draw me to Him. Because He is the Father. He is the everlasting Father. And He drew me to Himself. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that all power in heaven and earth is given unto Christ Jesus, that He is the Almighty God, that He is the everlasting Father, that He is all these things, and He took upon these offices because He believed it was the only way. And when God believes something, you know it's true, that man could be redeemed, and that He Himself, as God, now listen to this, that He Himself, as God, in His own mind, in His own heart, in His own way, could be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. I tell you, we've got an awesome God. And if you're not a member of this church, I would strongly recommend that you consider what's being preached here. What I preach, Kenneth preaches, Leonard preaches, what they teach in our classes, I strongly recommend that you consider realizing I need to be baptized and be sure it was correct. We have correct baptism here. Jesus said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That's what we're trying to do. And what do we do after they receive Christ and believe that Jesus is the Son of God with all power in heaven and earth? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You need to make sure your baptism is correct. I give you my word before the Lord. Well, maybe I better not do that. I give you my word that you need to join this church if you believe Jesus was the Son of God and that He was also the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Three different things testify that in heaven. You'll find that in 1 John. So the truth of the matter is it worth it to you to come before your Lord and say, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that I need to be taught to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you all the way to the end of the world, because that's who Jesus is. When you've heard this, and you've assimilated it, and you've thought about it, Leonard said, act on it. Act on it. Be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit by this church. Do it. All I can do is ask you. Because I'll tell you what happens after you do. All this stuff's going to open up to you. That's the first step of submission. And after that, I tell you what Leonard and Kenneth and myself and others in this church and the classes are going to teach you. We're going to teach you to observe all things whatsoever the Lord hath commanded us, teaching whatsoever the Lord hath commanded. Even to the end of the age, until He comes. So, this is something you really need to think about. I've never preached so direct at you before. But you say, you're preaching directly at me. Yes, I am. Yes, I'm preaching directly at you. And I'm not doing this because I feel good. Well, I do feel good about it. But I'm doing this because I love you. Because I care for you. And God taught me what He taught me because He first loved me and He cares for me. And He taught me these things. And He taught Leonard these things. And whatsoever we've taught that's the truth, God taught us and we know it. And we all three know we're unprofitable servants, and we all three love one another, because the devil stays in this church continually trying to draw a line between us, and there is no line between us except Jesus Christ. Now let's take a look. He says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Well, here we go with Mary. What do I think of Mary? I just love her to death. I just respect her to death. I'm looking forward to seeing her in heaven and telling her how happy I am that she responded to the Spirit of Christ and the message that God used the angel and worked through the angel Gabriel to tell her about. I love her to death, but I don't worship her. You want to make her sad? You want to make her unhappy? Then start trying to worship her and the angels. It's wrong, 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 wrong. And yet how many religions now have people in them that just worship angels? And particularly one church that worships Mary. And they just think she's so wonderful. She is wonderful. But there are lots of people in heaven that were wonderful. Isaac was wonderful. Jacob was wonderful. But we don't worship them. We worship the one that they worshiped. They didn't know near as much about him as we do. The first chapter of Hebrews indicates that we're more accountable than they are. We have seen God. We have seen the Ancient of Days. We have seen the Everlasting Father. You say, where, Brother McElmurray? In the Word. He is the Word. And the reason I use that scripture so many times is because it is so functional in understanding all this. The disciples, they were pretty downhearted when a bunch of them left. And Jesus said, He said, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up before? He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You're getting a good dose of the Word right now. You say, well, that you feel important. No, I don't. I feel humble. I feel unprofitable. I feel unworthy because I have learned who He is. And only He is worthy. And only He is worthy to be worshipped. And I honor Mary and Jacob and all of them and Abraham and all of them that went before me. But I worship Him because He's the only one who could have saved me. And He did. And He did it because He first loved me. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and be called the Son of the Highest. Well, he's the Son of the Highest. He's the Highest himself. And he's the Holy Spirit. And he kept telling you, I'll come back again and be the Holy Spirit. He told you that the Father sent him. He told you he was the Son. And he told you he would come back as the Holy Spirit. What else do you want him to do? You say, well, you have to really study to learn that. That's why this church is different. That's why we are different. We try to be like the Berean church. We try to seek all the workings of God in all three offices. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. It's not going to end at 1,000 years. It's going to continue right into the last one. God went to a lot of trouble to tell us that. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be? I know not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come unto thee. And this is a picture, but I'm not positive, so I'll tell you that before I present it. I think this is a picture of a woman and man's relationship when a woman conceives. But that is my opinion. That is not what the Bible specifically states. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. So what difference does it make whether he overshadowed her and whether what I just said is true? Doesn't make a bit of difference, because therefore lets you know that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's who he is. But he's also the Father that conceived him, that caused his conception. Whether it's a picture or not doesn't matter. It's what it says that matters. That's who I worship. Daniel 7:13-14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion. Okay. What did the Holy of Holies, what did the Ancient of Days have? Well, the dominion had already been planned in the mind of God. Dominion and glory, he gave glory, and a kingdom. It was his kingdom. But he was Jesus. That all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. Well, the Ancient of Days was. And the Ancient of Days doesn't mean he was an old man. It means that he had no age, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. That's Jesus' kingdom. That was the Ancient of Days' kingdom. The Ancient of Days was Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. Okay, you can take that first part. Go ahead and interpret it any way you want. And this last part right here is, you'll find in prophecy, and Daniel told you about it, His dominion shall be an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. You know who you're coming back with out of heaven after you're judged? You're coming back with the Ancient of Days. You know who he is? Jesus. You know what he's going to do when he gets down here on earth? He's going to reign as the Ancient of Days. You say, well, that's the same thing as reigning as Jesus. It certainly is. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God has spent a lot of time teaching Leonard and myself and Kenneth these things. And we don't understand all of it, but we understand enough of it to know this. You are greatly graced to know what you know about Jesus. And you need to be grateful for it, not to us, but to God. Because we're just unprofitable servants who God chose to teach. We're not superhuman. We make errors in interpretation. But there is something that has built between us that is a bond. All three of us have learned that the only thing that stands between us is the devil. The one that stands between us is Jesus Christ, who is all the things Isaiah said of him. And when we learn this completely, I guarantee you, we won't have a whole lot more to worry about or to understand. I beheld when the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Well, that certainly happened, and we know that's the tribulation period. How long is that time going to last? Well, you know, the rapture occurs on the seventh trumpet. We all go out. But Israel is left in the Negev and on earth during the tribulation period, and God brings a remnant through the tribulation period that is known as the seven vials of wrath. But how long is he going to prevail against Israel until the Ancient of Days come? Now, what's going to happen before that? And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. Where are we going to be judged? In heaven. We're going to be judged for position in the millennial reign, and we're going to be judged for our position in the final heaven age. We're going to be judged as to how much we thought of our inheritance. How much of the inheritance has God always been willing to give us? All of it. All of it. You say, well, he's going to judge me for that? Absolutely, and I'm going to be judged for that. How much do you want? Now, when are we going to possess the kingdom? We're being judged in heaven, and seven vials of wrath are poured on gods, are poured on the earth, the ones left behind at the rapture. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. When do we possess the kingdom? At the end of the battle of the millennial reign, we are going to return with Jesus, already having been judged in heaven. And having been judged in heaven, we are going to rule and reign with him to the degree that we wanted the inheritance and how much we actually claimed. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. And we're going to have jobs. We're going to have work to do. We're going to be sent out. We're going to be things that go out from the kingdom city where we'll live. If God judges us faithful. And we're going to work out there. The others are going to work too. But we're going to be given jobs that Jesus thought we were worthy of. And so are the descendants of Abraham, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and dominion shall serve and obey him. This is Jesus ruling as the Ancient of Days and the millennial reign. I have to answer for preaching this, and I am preaching it right now. Ezekiel 42 plus 48, 35. In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as a frame of a city on the south. That frame of the city on the south is the millennial city of Jerusalem. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of that of the city from that day shall be The Lord is There. Genesis chapter 4. And they began to call upon the name of the Lord. But I agree with Abraham. I agree with Leonard. I agree that Adam and Eve were saved by the gospel. The gospel was preached to Abraham. And Isaiah said the gospel went into all the world. The gospel has been around for a long time. God hasn't shortchanged anybody. Now, the dominion is the earth where the saved lived in glorified bodies. The kingdom is the city where the saved, judged to be faithful by Jesus at his judgment seat, are found to be worthy to live during his millennial reign. I want to be judged faithful. If I expect to be judged faithful, I am going to have to follow my Lord and Savior, the Ancient of Days, Jesus Christ, Almighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Comforter, and the everlasting kingdom. He's the everlasting God. The same distribution will be followed in the heaven age. His dominion is where the saved lived in glorified bodies outside the city. The kingdom city is the New Jerusalem. Those judged by Jesus are found to be worthy to live inside his gates. You're in the right place right now. We're teaching this. We're believing this. It is so sad that so few people understand this. Matthew 18, 1 through 4. And at that time came the disciples unto children, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He answers the question. This is a hard lesson to learn. And the children called, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted." And I talked about that. Oh, I've got it down here at the bottom. "And become as like little children in attitude." That's what you're supposed to have, is an attitude. Man alive, I didn't have that attitude when I came up here. And I didn't start having that attitude until a couple of years ago. "And as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." You're not the potentate. I'm not the potentate. I'm an under shepherd and a poor one at that, because I'm unworthy of this. I'm not putting myself down just to be putting myself down. I am down. I'm down on my knees before God. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The word converted is Stephanos. It's a middle and it's an intransitive. To turn in mind, to become as if another person or thing. God knows, Lord, you know I'm not the same man I was when I came up here. And you've changed me. And I've resisted. I've quenched your spirit. I've grieved your spirit. But you still taught me. And I'm very thankful. Help me, Lord, to be the kind of pastor I should be to this church and as your servant. I pray especially for Kenneth and for Leonard and myself and for Robert and for any others in this church. Well, I pray for all of you. But especially for those people who are leading this church. I pray separately and individually for us. Help us, all of us, to love one another and to let Jesus continue to change our lives, to become as little children who trust in Him to save us. We got a tribulation period coming up. It's going to be rough. And only God can deliver us from it. So that's what I went back to the Beatitudes. That's why I put Leonard's material on there. It's time to let the people know what we believe and why we believe it. We don't need to be ashamed of what we believe. We need to be thankful to God that He thought enough of us to teach us and put up with us while He did it. We've still got a lot to learn. I've got a lot to learn. Mark 6:50. "Immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Did he not say, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth"? He did. We got nothing to fear except fear itself. And we have someone who will lead us through it, guaranteed. And if you say, "Well, he might let me die," you get a quick rapture ahead of the rest of us. Don't dread death. Just understand it's a part of a Christian life. Brent, would you dismiss us?